Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Accessible World. Welcome to the Pat Price Tech Talk Training Room. The date is August 3rd, 2009, and this is the second week in our effort to talk about accessible cell phones. Dean Martineau, our friend and member of the Tech Talk Team Committee, proposed that we at least give it 2 weeks to discuss this very hot issue. Mobile phone enthusiast Mark Taylor will take the stage to discuss the hottest newcomer to the accessible wireless device arena, Apple's iPhone 3GS. With over 20 years in the information systems field, including serving as the manager of new technology at the University of California, Los Angeles, and as a professional technology blogger, Mark will compare and contrast the basic features of iPhone 3GS with conventional mobile phone solutions and, in so doing, will describe what kind of learning curve new iPhone 3GS owners can expect to encounter on their new totally touchscreen wireless journey. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I want to turn this microphone over to Dean Martineau, who will properly introduce Mark Taylor. We're delighted to have both of you gentlemen here, and the microphone will soon be yours.
Thanks, Bob. And what we plan on doing for everybody's benefit is we kind of like to talk back and forth. I think Mark will do the bulk of the talking, but it's hard for me to be quiet too for, you know, 45 minutes or an hour or so. Cover a lot of the information that we know we're going to get asked about, but then we're going to give plenty of time for questions. So please don't interrupt until we specifically say, now it's time for questions. It'll just flow better that way. Mark has been guiding other iPhone users and leading the way and documenting. The documentation that came with the phone is kind of okay, but it's been, as often happens in this biz, blind folks are teaching themselves and then teaching each other how to use it really well. Mark's, as he'll talk about, he's one of the really early adopters of the iPhone. This is a totally touchscreen device. I mean, there is like two buttons and everything else is a touchscreen. Can blind people use it? I'm totally blind. Not only that, I'm old and totally blind. I'm over 55, and I'm learning how to do it. It's very possible, and it's a really well-implemented device. It's not necessarily for everybody because there isn't one piece of technology that is, but it's fun, quite honestly. I'm having a blast with the thing, and I'll tell you a little bit about that, some of the stories. And it's also, I think, very useful. So I'd like to let Mark do the bulk of the talking just because he's quite honestly the best iPhone trainer around right now. And he's got stories to tell and information to spread. I may be doing more demonstrating than he's going to do just because apparently my iPhone situation is a little more stable right now as he's been installing a bunch of apps on his. So if we're going to do demonstrating, we'll try that. It may or may not work just to give you a feel for what it's like. If that doesn't work, there's a lot of people who are willing to get on Skype or get on other ways, and we can always help you see what it's going to be like to use the phone if this doesn't suffice. Anyway, I'd like to turn it over to Mark. And again, everybody else, kind of hang back until we open it up to questions. I think it'll flow better that way.
Great. Thanks, Dean. And thanks, Bob. You guys are very, very gracious. I appreciate that. The first thing that we'll start with is the launch of what happened when the iPhone came out. I'll be the first to say that I had a lot of skepticism about this device. And I remember a time thinking there's no way that Apple, I didn't think Apple or anybody would be motivated to actually embed a screen reader directly into a device. And then looking at the iPhone, the very first iPhone, I didn't figure they would be able to make it accessible. And I have to admit, this is one of those few times, that I'm absolutely delighted that I was completely wrong. So that's a good thing to start. When you go to buy a phone, it has been my experience, certainly for visually impaired people, and I don't know if people prefer low vision, blind, visually impaired, but we all know what I'm talking about. I really strongly recommend that unless you have a very good rapport with the manager of the store, that you call ahead. I'm leading to something, so I'm taking a long road around a short distance, but it is very important that you, if you can, call ahead and talk to someone and let them know that you will be coming in for a demonstration. If you are close, in this case we're talking about specifically the iPhone, but this applies to just buying a phone. Come to think of it, I've used this technique purchasing any major appliance, and it has always served me well. It is kind of fun to go into a store. You know, you're going by, walking by, driving by, flying by, whatever, and you say, "Oh, let's pop in and look." But as many new iPhone users will attest to, if you go into an Apple store or an AT&T store and you want a demonstration of the iPhone, chances are your first experience may be somewhat different than you expect. The phone launched on June 19th. This is August 3rd. So a lot of people at the Apple store and in the mainstream media, in fact, I just read an article today from a professional columnist that were talking about VoiceOver. But a lot of the staff may not be aware of VoiceOver, and even if you can instruct them on how to engage this software, given the fact that there's a lot of noise, the amount of customers, a lot of variables, they may be ill-prepared to give you the time and space you need to really examine the device. And I'd hate to see you or anyone, you know, not give it its fair share, give it a good hearing. When you turn the phone on, when you first put VoiceOver on, if you're in a store, it is going to sound very, very quiet. And to be quite honest, it's not that apparent as to how to increase the volume. And so you may have the phone in your hand, and you're pressing the volume key, and nothing's happening, and all of a sudden you go thinking, this isn't going to work. How does this work in the real world? That isn't the case. So if you can call ahead and say, look, I want to, I'm low vision or I'm visually impaired, I would like to come in for a demonstration of the iPhone. Do you have any iPhone 3GS? Do you have it? Any? Yeah, we have some. I'm going to be in a certain time, and I may need some time just to play with the phone, to work on, to learn how to use it. You know, taking that extra 5 minutes taking the extra 5 minutes to call ahead will really improve your experience. So anyway, case in point. Now, the reason getting to my main point was on June 19th, first off, I'm not a morning person. Not that anybody really cares, but I want anybody who's ever worked with me, my secretaries, my staff, I am not a morning person. But a lot of people had ordered, the iPhone we knew it was going to be a big launch for just mainstream. And I was just going to go into the store and pick up an iPhone until I realized, as various people I work with here in Orange County started telling me that they had ordered their phones ahead of time. And I you don't need to order it. What's the big deal? But as time approached, I started thinking, you know, maybe I better order one, because it just, I don't know, with all the TV ads and all the bloggers and everything anticipating, so I decided to order. I didn't like the idea of paying for the phone ahead of time. I'm one of these people to think, well, if it can go wrong, it will go wrong, which is not necessarily a healthy attitude, but it's one I certainly have. And that's a lot of money to put out for a device that you may or may not get. But anyway, I decided to go ahead and order the phone. And being the pessimist that I am sometimes when it comes to technology, not in life, you understand, just when it comes to certain technologies, I decided, you know, just in case my phone didn't come in, I wanted to be the first one in line on June 19th. And I know there's a lot of enthusiasm for the Apple products. So I decided to get up at 3 a.m. and go to the store. It was dark, of course. I mean, really, it was completely quiet. All these big freeways, there was nobody on the freeway. There was nobody anywhere. I went down to the store. And it was about 4:30 when I got there, and I sent my wife away because she was going to sit there with me. I didn't feel right. You know, it's one thing to be out in the cold. It was kind of cold, actually, even though it's June. It's one thing to be sitting out there. It's one thing to have your family out there with you. You know, I didn't want to be held accountable if anything went wrong. But anyway, I get there, and I had my water. I had some breakfast items. I had already brailled out the online manual for the phone. And I had done that over a series of 2 weeks as it had become released in various places. I posted those on the blog. So I had three huge volumes of Braille items, Braille material that I was going to read as a last-minute preparation for this phone. So I'm sitting there, and I didn't realize it was, again, very, very dark, and I have some residual vision, but certainly not enough to be of any major use to anybody. But I didn't realize there had been people there ahead of me. So I just sat down right in front of the door because I wanted to be that first one in the store. So I sat right against the security bars of the store. Well, anyway, about 20 minutes in, I'm all camped out, set up. I mean, it looks like I've been living there for days. And these guys were saying, hey, you know, you weren't here first. And I was like, excuse me? And they got kind of an attitude with me. I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know, blah, blah, blah. So they were about six people. They were really not very nice. So I thought, okay, you know, I said, guys, if it's that important to you, you know what? Fine. So I move down, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So as time goes, it's 6 o'clock, 6:30. Now, where there was only about 8 of us at 4:30, now we're looking at a line of about, I think, 80 to 100 people. I mean, it's just incredibly long. And we're told that there's going to be TV cameras that are going to be, scanning them. If anybody has a problem with it, you know, to let them know now. Well, I had still had all my camping gear, and I'll tell you that if I had known there was going to be that many people that early, I probably would have, people probably thought I was homeless. But anyway, so we get down to the last 10 minutes. Anticipation is there. And by the way, the six guys who were there ahead of me were still kind of angry at me. For some reason, they thought I was trying to be a show-off or blah, blah, blah. I don't know what it was. Well, here's the best part of the story. At exactly 6:55, and again, tons of people from the store and full staff, they come out and say, all right, only those of you who have pre-ordered a phone, we're going to let you go in first, and everybody else, you have to wait until 9 o'clock. So we want everybody who has pre-ordered the phone to raise their hand. And there was only one person in that line who raised his hand. Guess who it was? So, as I picked up my gear and strolled past the six guys who had been angry at me and said, well, I'll see you guys later, I'd walked into the phone. And to make a longer story longer, I went into the store at exactly 7:01. I exited the store at 7:13 with my phone, and the six guys were still standing there. It just cracked me up. By the way, after I went into the store, other people started coming in who had just gotten there, who had pre-ordered. But my point is, it was quite an experience. I wouldn't have missed it for the world. I'm so glad that I did pre-order, or I would have been, six people in wouldn't have been a big deal. But I got to tell you, it made me feel really good to take my cane and my gear and my braille and all my gear and just casually stroll in front of those people. So my first moments with the iPhone were absolutely wonderful. Then I got home, and there was already tons of people. I live in California, and so obviously there are people on the East Coast who already had their phones. The first thing you noticed, and I noticed when I really got my hand on the iPhone, is just like Dean said, there are three buttons on the phone. And one is a home button, one is the power, for all, I'm just going to keep this simple, power button and the volume button. And I'm going to stop here and say this. Should you decide to get an iPhone, you can order them online, and there are various channels to purchase them. But whatever you do, I suggest that you do a couple of things. One, if possible, get the staff at either AT&T or Apple to activate the phone for you. It will save you a lot of trouble. Two, this will activating the phone will also include having the SIM card put in. It's not the easiest thing. Once you know how to do it, it's a piece of cake. But, it's not going to be something that you take in and out a lot. So have them show you. And three, and this is a big one, especially people who don't see well. When you buy this phone, it does not come with a protective thin plastic screen, a very thin plastic sheath that goes over the screen. If you buy a case for the phone, most of the cases will come with a thin plastic piece to protect the screen. You can still see the screen, and it will not affect any way you interact with the phone. But you don't want to scratch the screen with fingernails or any particles that may be on your hand. If you don't buy a case, if you decide not to buy a case immediately, invest another $3 or $4 and have someone, and I recommend that you have someone who works at the store to do it. It's not easy, even for a sighted person, to align this piece of plastic so that it gives you the maximum protection without interfering with any operation of the phone. So be sure and do that. So after you do that, you're going to be okay. And by the way, the phone will come, when you get the phone, it will, it won't have voiceover enabled, but it's very easy. I won't go into specific details as to how to turn on voiceover. It's pretty simple. You can look, you can ask, you can check the web. We'll take questions if you want to ask me, but for now I'll just forego that. But it's pretty straightforward. So you get the phone, and I think assuming that you get the phone, it's activated. You need to understand that. And this is one of my biggest, it was, and I suppose it still is to some degree, one of the challenges that I'm not thrilled about with the iPhone, and that is that in order to manage data on the phone, you really do have to have iTunes. If you were to go to the store today and buy a Samsung Jack or even a Motorola Q or an HTC or any other number of phones. You can activate the phone and you can enter data or music, I'm sorry, media and things on that device, having never even touched the computer. Obviously, having an interface with a PC or a Macintosh is going to give you more flexibility, but it's not necessary. Well, with the current edition or generation of iPhone, you certainly don't need a computer to dial the phone, which was the case years ago with the earlier releases. But if you want to install any software or you would like to have the iPhone do what I think it does best, which is manage multimedia, then iTunes will become part of your world, okay? So that's important. I recommend that if you're going to get the phone, that you install iTunes ahead of time. Most often than not, you're not going to have a problem. There's a little bit of an issue based on my experiences of the last week. There's a little, you may notice some small, when I say small, I mean little glitches with iTunes running in the RTM of Windows 7, but not enough that will impact the uses of the phone. So what do I mean when I say this? Well, you may have to click on an item maybe twice as opposed to once. Again, I'm sure this will be taken care of. It's just a little house cleaning that needs to be done in some code for Windows 7 that has already been addressed. But Vista users, XP users, won't be a problem. Also, I'm sure, you know, obviously the Mac, it was made for the Mac, iTunes, so they're the home team in this whole game. So I suggest that you get iTunes and have it configured, get it set up, set up an iTunes account before you get the phone. Because when you get the phone, you're going to want to spend more time working on the phone than you are about setting up software. The software is kind of boring when you think about it. You will need to set up, I recommend that you set up an iTunes account. I believe, and Dean, you've done this more recently than I have. You may have to put some kind of, no, I don't, I got to take it back. You need to say, my problem was I wasn't sure if you needed to put in some kind of a credit card or debit card number in order to activate the iTunes account. I don't think that's the case. But again, Dean would know better because he's done it much more recently than I have. So, Dean, I'll stop here and let you answer that question. Do you remember if you had to put in a credit card number for the setting up an iTunes account?
Yes. And I have set up an iTunes account, but I have yet to install iTunes on my computer. Once you've got an iTunes account set up, and you want a credit card set up because you want to be able to buy some apps from the App Store, that's a lot of the fun of it. This is not a budget device. This is not we did that at the store because I happen to be this fortunate person that has a son who works at the AT&T store. So we set up my iTunes account right then and there. You do put a credit card in. Once you do that, you can get your apps on the phone. There are plenty of reasons. I'm not using this phone as a multimedia device, which is probably a minority position. It's got so many other virtues that I don't care about multimedia. I can listen to music on other things I've got. And, you know, I'm not much into videos, but then everybody's different. This phone is obviously great for music and videos. But, yeah, you do set up an iTunes account. You want to do that, even if you don't know if you're going to use iTunes on your computer, because then you can go in, go to the App Store. Hey, I want to buy that, or I want to get this free. Even the free apps, you have to have the iTunes account set up for, because it has your email address as a username and a password. You put that in, and it automatically charges the credit card you've got there, which makes life easy, so that doesn't bother me in this instance. Not that I'm a big spender. I think I've spent all of $7 so far in the App Store, but you can get a lot for $7 in the App Store. So that's the deal with that. I'll turn it back over to Mark.
No, thank you, Dean. Interestingly enough, this will not be what I'm about to say to Apple users or Mac users. This will probably be pretty redundant, and you know it already, but for a lot of Windows users, it can be a little confusing between setting up and using an Apple ID and an iTunes account and an iTunes ID. And even the fact that I just said that is going to sound somewhat convoluted. Let me just say this. Set up an iTunes account. Don't worry about the Apple ID until it's requested. When you set up your iTunes account, it will say, do you have an Apple ID? And if you don't have one, then just go ahead and follow the prompts to set one up for the iTunes. And you may, down the road, decide to set up an Apple ID and there's a way to merge them. It's kind of a little bit convoluted. Don't let that throw you. I know when people get a new device, you know, it's kind of, you get a little, it's very nerve-wracking. You know, it's, change is hard. So don't let that fool you too much. Now, moving on, once we have iTunes, and again, you can get your email, passwords, all these things set up even before you get the phone. If you can afford it, and just like Dean said, this is certainly not a budget device. If you can afford it, I strongly recommend that you spend an extra $50, or I mean it's $59, I can't remember, to purchase something called AppleCare. And I will tell you that while AppleCare does not cover accidental damage, that is to say, assuming that you didn't buy a plastic cover for the screen and you scratched it, they're not going to cover the replacement of the screen. However, it does extend the warranty in terms of, malfunctions on the phone, but it allows you to, and this is going to sound funny to people who aren't familiar with it, it does allow you to, in effect, jump ahead of the line in terms of support if you ever need to take the phone in. You can actually set up an appointment, and they call it with the Genius Bar. I roll my eyes every time I say it or hear it, but these geniuses. And so it does have a few perks. You know, I haven't used it yet. Obviously, I haven't had the phone long enough to have any malfunctions. But if you can afford it, I say it's better when you're dealing with a phone this delicate, and it is a very delicate piece of equipment, that I suggest you take the extra $50 today. It may save you a lot of trouble down the road. I also recommend that you get a case for the phone. This phone, not as slippery as the original iPhones, but you'd be amazed at how easily it is to, it's very, I want to say sleek and shiny. And it's hard to get a good grip on it. And if you're going to be learning how to text and things, believe me, you don't want to drop your phone. If you don't get a case, please only take the phone out of a carpet, because it can really slide out of your hand. It's a kind of a curvature to it. So it's very ergonomically sound, but it does make a slippage very easy. So, if I were you, I would strongly, and I did, I would get a leather, get some kind, I want to say a leather case, get any kind of case, preferably one that is very easy to hold on to, so that when you're actually interacting with the iPhone, you know, you feel secure in that. And now, moving further with what you can encounter, you turn the phone on, and it doesn't take long for it to power up. The phone, unlike Windows phones, again, I'm talking Windows Mobile, and this is without any kind of security. Obviously, there are some advanced users who are going to say, Mark, you know, you can put security on my Windows phone or my Symbian phone, and yeah, I know, but out of the box, when you turn a Windows Mobile phone on, the phone is on, just like you do when you go into, you know, Windows 98 or the old single user license of XP. So you turn the phone on. And when you turn the phone on, it's not exactly, you're not in the interface. You turn the phone on, it's actually locked. Sighted people see a little bit of a little locking mechanism, and they take their finger and slide across to the right to unlock the phone. Why is this? So that, because to turn the phone on, you press the power button. But just because you turn the phone on doesn't necessarily mean that you want to interact with the icons on the touch screen. You may, in fact, want to turn the phone on to, believe it or not, make a phone call, just a phone call. And given the fact that the phone has what we call voice control, it is not necessary to interact with the touch screen to make a phone call. Now, most people will at first, but it is not necessary to do so. To extend this, at the time of this show, you cannot activate the voice control via Bluetooth. Okay? Cannot. But I'm assuming, I'm making a leap here, but they're probably going to fix that. Or shut, maybe not fix, nothing wrong with it. They're probably going to add this feature. So situations like that, again, there would really be no need to interact with the icons on the touchscreen if all you want to do is make a phone call using the voice control. So, and I do this quite often. Power on the phone, put it in your shirt pocket or in your purse, whatever you have, and that's it. And it's ready to go. Now, going back to the case, another reason why you will want to, when you make a selection on the case, and people are going to say, Mark, you know, you're kind of fixated on cases. I'm not. But I will tell you that I've had, I can honestly tell you I've owned over maybe 21 phones since 1993. And I have yet to find a phone that I would recommend a case for as much as the iPhone, because of the way it's shaped, because of the fact that you really will need to, your hand will have to do double time in terms of interacting with the phone and holding it. And also because you don't want to be pulling this phone out of a purse or a pocket if your hands are even the slightest bit, I don't want to say wet, but, you know, unsure, because you will drop the phone. I saw a guy drop a phone at LAX once, and an iPhone, and he was sitting in one of those chairs waiting for his plane. And, I didn't see him drop. I heard he was sitting right next to me, and I heard this crash. And I looked down over him, and he goes, oops, and he dropped his phone, and game over. Now, I don't know if Apple, I'm not going to tell you that the phone can't take some shock impact, but believe me, he was sitting in a very comfortable chair, very low to the ground, and it fell on a hard surface, and game over. And so I'm not saying having a case will prevent damage, but again, you want to get a case, and if I were you, I'd get a case that can slip into your pocket and that you don't necessarily need a clip. Okay, enough about cases. Anyway, so you're going to unlock the phone. You power the phone on. You'll hear VoiceOver come on. It'll say VoiceOver ready. Depending on how the, you know, it's not all perfect. Sometimes some of the words will be cut off. Sometimes they won't. But you'll know it's there. And let me just stop and say this. This is not a script, so I'm kind of doing this as I go. One of the nicest features about the iPhone, and I've had easily 14 debates with various technologists in the last 2 months about the pros and cons of iPhone. And the one thing I can tell you that I like the best of all features is that with the iPhone, you can be virtually independent. You can take your iPhone. How many times can I say iPhone in a sentence, huh? You can take the iPhone out of the box, assuming that it's been activated. And by activate, I mean just assuming you're already an AT&T or your wireless provider. You know, you got to have some kind of account. And assuming that you have a screen reader in place for your Mac or your PC. And again, I'm assuming that you would. You can engage the accessibility features from your computer simply by attaching the phone to the computer via the included docking cable. And you can turn on VoiceOver. So there is no screen alignment. Those of you who have used Pocket PCs, you know that when you reboot the phone, I don't mean necessarily restart the phone. Should you have to reset the phone or clear the phone of all user data, the first step is to perform a screen alignment. And depending on the software that you use, that may or may not be an option for you. So rest assured with the iPhone, I like the fact that if my phone, and I've had to reset it a couple of times because I like to experiment a lot, and you pay a price when you experiment a lot. A lot of times I didn't have to go and ask somebody, can you please realign the screen? Now, frankly, a screen alignment only takes less than 40 seconds, assuming the person knows how to do it, but it's just one more thing to add to the independence that we as low vision people are coming into on our own, and it's a nice feeling. So rest assured that you will be able to engage any accessibility features that the phone has from iTunes. Okay. So you have the phone on, VoiceOver's on, and you have the phone in your hand. The interface is really quite simple. I won't go into all the commands for VoiceOver because, you know, frankly, I don't expect you to remember them. But just to give you an idea, because I know there are people who think, how is it done? Here's how it's done. This is from a perspective of a totally blind person. Take a finger, your index finger. Touch the touchpad or the display screen. And wherever your hand or your finger lands, it will, the VoiceOver will report where your phone is. If your hand, because, okay, let me start over. Let me try it one more time. I get ahead of myself. The iPhone is not made up of list boxes or lists at all. It is a grid. defined by four icons, and I'm thinking about, to a totally blind person, how much meaning this has, but all I have are words. It's so hard to paint a picture. But four rows, and each row, like an Excel spreadsheet, has a column. So there's four rows, and I believe five rows and four columns. If I confused you, I apologize. After a while, when you do these things, you don't even think about it. I can tell you right now that if I can dial a phone number, even a touchpad on a regular phone, and if you asked me what that number was, I could not tell you because, your brain just has patterns of behavior, and you just get used to it. As I describe the interface to you, I'm thinking, what does it look like? I don't really look at it very often. But if you take your hand, your finger, and you touch the upper left-hand corner of the display screen, you will hear something. It will, whatever the icon is, and I believe it says messages. And it will take you some time to learn that you don't need to move your finger very far to the right or down to move to another icon. And the icon is roughly about the size of the pad of your finger, right below your fingertip. And so understand that the first learning curve you will have is learning how to navigate these icons. Like with anything else, you may tend to want to slide your hand too far, and you'll hear some, a little bit of distorted speech as you move across the icons very fast. So I suggest that you explore this screen. Speed is not going to serve you well in this. I know people want to get up and running. And if you have some vision, or if you have experience dealing with grid views, then by all means, go as fast as you can. But for the rest of us who have no predisposition to this phone, who have no history with it, take your time. I think the thing that worries me the most about new iPhone users is that they compare themselves to, and I hate to say those of us because I am certainly, I've only been using a phone for 2 months. But I've had people contact me and say, Mark, I've listened to you enter text on your iPhone, you're so fast. Well, that's a nice compliment. But believe me, if I am faster than someone else, it's only because I practice a lot and because I like to text. And it's because it's what I like to do. To me, spending time with technology is someone else's answer is to go in and watch a baseball game. Although I like a baseball game too, I'm just saying. So this happens to be an area where I can share my enthusiasm with other people, but it does make a difference. If you are a person who really doesn't like technology, you may not find yourself gaining the speed that you see others have, and that's okay. But it does not necessarily mean that you are not doing well. And for whatever reason, I appreciate the fact that people compliment me on my abilities. Understand, there's no magic here, and it's just about repetition over and over and over. And for every time I touch the iPhone and I get a letter, I enter the letter, like on my podcast, I say, well, let me see if I can find the letter L. And I land on L, which is great. I can tell you there were 100 times when I didn't. You just don't hear that part. Okay, so, there really is, there's no super anything here. We're all in this together. So please don't be intimidated by people who come across or may say, well, you hear them, you go, oh, man, I'll never be that good. You will be. Give yourself some time. So, I suggest that you explore the interface. Learn how to navigate from icon to icon. And again, there should be four icons across and five icons down. When you can navigate those, and you do that just by touching the phone with a thing with your, I'm going to say index finger. To select any one of these icons, simply touch the phone. So, in effect, if I'm on the first icon in row one, and for simplicity's sake, I'll just say row one, column one, because most of us have some experience with certainly those who read Braille and know Excel, you know what I'm talking about, upper left-hand side. If I touch that one time, for my purposes, that icon is now selected. If I touch that icon and slide to the right once, maybe one or two times, whichever icon was last spoken. Now, this is a general rule, but it's a general policy. It's not a rule. Generally speaking, the last icon that you hear being spoken is the one that's selected. There are some exceptions, and they are very consistent exceptions. And I think Apple was absolutely brilliant to come up with these exceptions. And as you become more familiar with the phone, you will all of a sudden, you'll recognize what these exceptions are. Were I to try to describe them to you, you'd go, what is he talking about? You'll know it when you come across it. Just trust me on this one. Next thing I want you to, when you get this phone, when you get the iPhone, you want to certainly experiment with putting in the headset and adjusting the volume control. And here's how we do that, very simply. And it takes a little bit of timing, but volume is important to people. So I want to just cover this, and then we'll move on. I know it's just, I'm taking a long time doing this, but it's important that you understand that there really is no magic here. When you touch an icon and you hear VoiceOver begin to speak, that is the time at which you will press the volume up key on the left-hand side of the phone. And you will press that. You will continue to press it. That means not press and hold, but press, release, and you will hear the volume go up. So in effect, what it comes down to is, just like on Windows Mobile, and in my experience with Symbian, the volume key will affect whatever media or medium, whatever audio is coming from the phone at any given point in time. So if you're playing a piece of music and you press you engage the volume keys, you will increase the volume of the songs or the video you're playing. And if you press the volume key while VoiceOver is speaking, same effect. The same is true when you plug in the headset. And I can't, this is anecdotal observation. I haven't gotten a hard, fast rule from Apple on this yet. But it seems to me that there's some kind of profiling that goes on with the iPhone so that it remembers specific devices that you attach. Now, there'll be some of you who can tell me I'm right or wrong, and I'll be glad to, accept that. But I have four or five different headsets I use with my iPhone. And it seems that depending on it seems to remember at least two of them where the volume was when I removed them, which may sound a little bit confusing. But I may have the volume set at one level when the headset is not, and I'm talking about the wired headset, is not inserted into the phone, and yet it will return to whatever it previously was with the headset when it was. That makes no sense, but I think you all follow me. That, again, that seems to be anecdotal evidence, but I swear it seems that way. There are some exceptions to this, but volume is an important thing. Oh, and one more thing. You will find a switch on the left-hand side of the phone that personally I find the most useful of all, and that is the silent switch. When this switch is pulled up towards you, assuming that the phone is laying on its back, with the screen just facing you in a logical way you would interface with the phone. When it's engaged, you will hear the ringtone, incoming call. You may also select to have the phone vibrate also. If you toggle the switch downward towards the table, assuming it's laying on the surface, the phone will vibrate, but it will not ring. Very nice feature. It should also be noted when this switch is engaged, because to me, privacy is everything. Certainly when I'm out with people or colleagues, you don't necessarily want them knowing your business. One of the questions I get asked is, well, how does VoiceOver read caller ID? Again, understand that the iPhone is a work in progress. So what I say to you today may be different. Well, most likely will be different in the next version of the OS. When you hear the phone ring, receive an incoming call, you can touch the display screen, and VoiceOver will announce the call. Now, it's not a perfect solution to the extent that on other devices I have, when I engage the speaking caller ID, it will silence the ringer, and you will only hear the voice or the screen reader said. That isn't really the case here. It can happen that way, but it's been my experience that it's not necessarily. Now, maybe Apple, again, is going to work on this. So you just touch the screen. However, it is, depending on your volume settings and the way the constellations are aligned and what star is rising, if you have the volume set and the ringer is on, when the phone begins to ring, it will also announce the caller ID whether you want it to or not. That's fine if you don't mind. So what I find very useful is if I'm going to be in a place, say a library, and I don't go to libraries very much because they're too quiet for a mark, but still. And I'm waiting for a phone call, or I expect phone calls, and I don't necessarily want people to know who's calling me. Not that they, you know, the average person's not going to hear who it is because they're not expecting to hear it. But that isn't the point, is it? At these times, I do engage the switch, the silent switch. So then VoiceOver will not announce the call out loud. I haven't done this, so I don't think of it. But I think it will if you touch the screen. But it won't do it if the phone just begins to ring and you go. Now, please understand this. If you have the Bluetooth, if you have a Bluetooth device paired with the phone, if you have a wired headset paired to the phone, you don't have to worry about a lack of privacy because it totally disengages the speakerphone. So that won't be a problem. This, of course, is assuming that, again, you have the phone on your desk, or you have it in your pocket, you're walking around, you know, and you're expecting a phone call, and you don't want people to hear it, you know, Joe Sixpack, you know, or believe it. You know, you just don't want those kinds of things if you're into that. So just it does have that ability. The most important icon you're going to find, certainly for new users, is the settings icon. I won't go into the details of it. Let me just say this. The settings is where you're going to live for the most part until you get your phone the way you like it in terms of how you want voicemails to be read, display screen, battery consumption. Everything happens at the settings menu level. So hopefully this will give you kind of an idea of what you can expect. I have put up a podcast, and I'm not trying to plug my blog, I swear. But if those of you who would like a more detailed explanation as to how texting is done, you can go to the Candle Shore blog. It's CANDLE, like a candle, shore, like at the beach, and it's all one word, Candle Shore, followed by the word blog, blog.com. And in the search field, if you type in, you can type in iPhone, or you can just click on the wireless category. But if you type in iPhone, it would be probably a better search for you. And you can even type in texting. You will find the article, the audio demonstration of where I interact with the phone to show how it's done. Okay? Okay, Dean, back over to you, buddy.
I want to make sure we leave plenty of time for questions. And so I want to cover a few, give a couple of anecdotal stories because I think they're fun just because I'm enjoying them myself. Talk a little bit about for whom this device is good and isn't good, and I want you to comment on that too, but then I want to open it up for questions. I think there'll be quite a few of them. I think that this device is wonderful. It is so, obviously, the screen reader being built in, and I was pretty dubious, and I battled with the thing. I still battle with it some, and I'll talk about that a little bit. What have I done? Well, I've got a talking compass program that was free that I put on here. So if I really want an automatic talking compass, the phone comes with a built-in compass, but if I really want the compass headings spoken to me automatically, they are. If I want to tune my ukulele, I can do that. If I played guitar, there's a guitar tuning program. Streaming audio. I'm loving sitting out in my yard listening to the news from Mexico, listening to the Michigan State Radio University Radio Reading Service, listening to radio from Colombia or any other place, every other place, not every station, on my phone. There is a GPS program, which is not as powerful as the ones made for the blind. I haven't played with that yet. That's one of the strengths of this phone, is you've got thousands and thousands of apps, as they call them. Now, the Apple guarantees that the apps that come with the phone are accessible and says that, well, everybody else can make their app accessible. The reality is an awful lot of these other apps are accessible or are accessible enough so that we can use them, and they enable you to do all kinds of really kind of cool things like the ones I mentioned and probably a whole lot more besides. So I've just been enjoying doing all this kind of stuff. As for who, I think that that's the strength of this phone there, and I love doing email. I love being able to lie in bed and read the local newspaper that isn't available on NFB Newsline on the phone in the morning. Thanks to one of the apps that I downloaded for free. In fact, I downloaded that 2 days after I had the phone. I downloaded this app and then told everybody else about it on the mailing list. And other people have found there's a whole series of these local news apps for different cities, and they're all accessible and they all give you news from various sources for that city. And so it's pretty cool. There's a whole bunch of them. All of this is very doable. And I think that's the strength. This phone there may be one, you know, maybe it will do one thing better than some other phone, maybe it'll do one thing a little worse than some other phone, but it does just a whole bunch of things really well. It's just a wonderful general purpose device. And it does a lot of things really. I like the way it implements email. I haven't ever been much of a texter. I'm becoming one. So why am I using this? Well, one reason I decided very consciously to use it is I am old, or getting kind of old. And, you know, if we keep on doing things the same old way in life, our brain doesn't stretch. We don't learn anything, and that's not a real positive thing. I knew this was going to be a stretch for me when I got it, and that was one of the reasons I got it. I'm determined to learn to use this touchscreen device to learn, get my muscle memory to learn where the icons are, where the letters are, so that I can speed up my texting. You know, we didn't all start out touch typing at 50 or 70 or 40 or 90 words a minute, but we all learned some degree of that skill. This is another thing to learn. If, obviously, dialing the phone, if the fact that you can't just pick up a phone and push buttons to dial, you're going to have to learn to dial a little bit. That took me a little while. I'm still not as perfect at it. I don't know if I'll ever be as fast a dialer as I am on a standard old phone with a keypad, but I can dial quite competently now. I've gotten to the point where I can, in the middle of calls, I can enter my credit card information and stuff, you know, for banks within the time allotted. So it can be done. But it is going to take learning. There's no getting around that. If I didn't have some time to do that learning right now, and wasn't motivated to do it, that would be a problem. So, Mark, if you could, in a somewhat short amount of time, give some of your assessments as to why people might or might not like this phone, then I kind of think we should get to questions and address the needs. We've got 47, the number seems to kind of go and come, but about 47 people here, and I bet some of them have some questions.
Sounds good. One thing, Dean, it's a very good thing you said is the applications. For those of you who know me, you know that I'm a big Windows Mobile fan. And I made the last 2 years dedicated to trying to get as much flexibility with a cell phone or wireless device as possible. I believe it is the great leveling play. I believe it's the only way we can really be level in the playing field with sighted people. That is to say, I have access to things with my Windows Mobile phone I never had access to before, including my entire album collection, for example. You know, before I had to memorize, you know, put Braille on the outside, of course, unless you have tons and tons of volumes of paperwork to know. I mean, I have tons of music from 30 years. For the first time, I can jump from one song to another or album and do searches. I've never had that level of flexibility before, and accessibility in terms of that sort of thing. So, you know that I love cell phones and wireless phones. I will say that, just like Dean, to add what Dean said, the iPhone, it's not that the iPhone does anything that can't be done on a different platform. It's the way it's done. That's a key thing. So what I'm about to say applies to today only. This may change tomorrow. But today, I would not recommend an iPhone for a person who needs to interact with any Microsoft Office documents. To the best of my knowledge, and I know there can be, but I hope somebody can prove me wrong, and if so, please do. Nothing would make me happier. But there really isn't, and I want to qualify this, there are always workarounds for things, but a nice, convenient way to interact with editing Word documents on the iPhone that's accessible at this point. I'm hoping that'll change. And this would also apply to syncing the device in terms of documents. Now, it can be done, and there are a lot of solutions for it. I'm just saying, innately speaking to the phone, if you're a Windows person and you need to hit the ground running, and you're going to be in a completely an environment where you need to have access to these documents right now, then I would not recommend an iPhone for you, because at present, I would not. It just isn't. That's not where it's focused. Wise. Just to add what Dean said about the App Store, I discover new applications every day. We have a very powerful iPhone list where people submit programs that do work and those that don't. It has been my experience that I've interacted with those of you who follow me will know, I don't necessarily mention all this until the time is right, because the dialogue is one thing. I've interacted with about 18 different developers of some very high-powered applications who are definitely are going to make these applications accessible. It doesn't take a lot of coding, depending from what I understand, to make them accessible. In fact, I've received 4 emails today from different companies that want me to beta test their software before they launch the newer releases. So as we move forward as a community of low vision and visually impaired people, we will impact developers for the iPhone. And that is a nice thing. You do get a lot of applications on the phone that work right out of the box. I love Windows Mobile. The one thing that, even from my enthusiasm, is that the experience will vary depending on who the manufacturer is in terms of the applications that you have. If you're lucky, if you're like me, and you do your due diligence, you'll end up with a Samsung Epix or something similar, and you will have virtually everything you want. I mean, you know, but it doesn't necessarily mean you'll have access to it if the screen reader isn't built into the system. So if you really want maximum accessibility for the phone, I've yet to see anything today. This may change tomorrow as the iPhone. Every application on there is truly accessible, even the extended features. Dean mentioned the different applications you downloaded. The weather, you can say, well, what's the big deal about the weather? Yeah, but, you know, you'd be amazed at how much it's nice to be able to say what's the weather going to be like and not have to listen to a radio, wait for the announcer to tell what the radio is or to call a phone number. It is nice. It's nice to have access to a scientific calculator or multiple calculators on the phone without having to go out and spend $200 or $300 on getting a talking one. These things that, you know, people take for granted. When it's nice to have a timer that you can use to measure things that are right there. I mean, you think, well, what's the big deal with a timer? I've gone 30 years without a timer. Yeah, I know. You know, people have gone lifetimes without microwaves too. But you'd be hard pressed to have somebody give up a microwave. They say they could only have one device: a stove or a microwave. How many of you would choose a microwave over a stove, despite centuries of only having to cook with conventional fire? So the fact that we've not had access to it before doesn't mean it can impact our lives in a very positive way. So I think, generally speaking, there really is, I can't think of any real reason except for the external documentation compatibility why someone wouldn't want an iPhone. Save one more thing, and that is, again, I'm speaking only for today, and this is not an iPhone love fest. There are battery consumption issues that we're hoping that will be resolved. But if power, battery longevity is an issue, I would not recommend the iPhone unless you have enough money to buy secondary battery packs. And Apple has a reputation. In fact, they pride themselves, and I think this is not a stretch to say that they pride themselves on, you know, tending to go towards a more couture audience. They like being at the high end of the spectrum. You cannot, believe me, and Dean, I'm going to keep this short. I wanted to say this. For those of you who think I'm a Mac basher, and I'm not, I was totally prepared to buy a Macintosh last weekend because, it's been a while since I've had one. And I was going to buy a notebook, 13-inch notebook. And, you know, I think the price I was quoted, give or take, and let's say $1,000. It's hard for me to spend $1,000 on a 13-inch Macintosh when I can spend $300 on a 7-inch netbook on the Windows side or Linux or insert operating system here. So this isn't about the Macintosh. I'm not bashing the Macintosh. Please don't think I'm doing that. I don't want to start a firestorm. But my point is, there are times where, you know, if money is a factor, and for many of us it is a factor. Just like money can be a factor as to why you might buy the iPhone, because you don't have to go out and spend another $200, $300 on a screen reader. At present time, if battery consumption is a factor, you will have to spend, depending on what your needs are, another $50 or $80. It just depends on what your budget is. But if you say, Mark, I need a phone that I know will last 24 hours a day, even if I'm talking, I mean, no phone's going to last 24 hours a day if you sit there and hold the button down and drain the power. I mean, all things being equal, I would certainly not recommend the iPhone. But barring those, the compatibility in terms of Office, Microsoft Office, which does not include Outlook, by the way. I don't want any Outlook users to say, well, you can't sync Outlook. You can sync Outlook. Microsoft Exchange is beautifully supported. And I haven't blogged this yet, but there are other push solutions for the iPhone besides Mobile Me. I think it's Mobile Me. The main thought here is that Mobile Me is the only truly push solution. That's not the case, and I'll be talking about that in the coming weeks, so stay tuned. But I think, Dean, I hope that answers your question as to who I think would benefit from it.
That sounds good, and I think there's no time like the present, because that way we'll be able to actually be responsive to the group here. Let's open it up to questions. So I understand the process here is, right, you type in your question, it's recognized. If you have a microphone, you then get a chance to voice it. If you don't, it's read, and then give us a chance to answer it before somebody else comes in, and we'll be, I know Mark and I, at least last time, we both were willing to stay as long as need be, even if it was beyond 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern time, to carry on if there's useful discussion to go on. So with that, I'll turn it over to however you guys want to run the question part of it.
Okay, and thank you, gentlemen, for a great job thus far. I hope we can hear a demo, Dean, later of how it works, hear the voice, possibly. Again, if you have a question, you have a microphone, you do an F8, write the word question and enter. And Ron Ailey, hi Ron, I didn't say hi to you earlier, will recognize you. If you do not have a microphone, again, F8, write your question and enter. Okay, let's see where we are, Ron. If we have any questions, please.
Martin Nelson is the person waiting with the question.
Yes, good evening, and I'd like to compliment the both of you on a very interesting and excellent presentation. My wife has an iPhone, I guess it's 3G. She's sighted, and she seemed, I was asking her if I could hear what VoiceOver sounds like, and she had trouble. She had it, got it turned on, but then she had trouble getting it turned back off for her to use it. My questions are, number one, what would be an easy way for me to, practice with it, borrowing it from her for a few minutes? Where can I go out to learn, the different commands, like, how do you get out of an icon once you're in an icon? All the basics. How would you do that? And then I wanted to mention something that Dean mentioned. He said he listens to stations from Mexico and Colombia, which I speak Spanish and I enjoy listening to. I was wondering what application on the iPhone Dean used to hear them. Thank you.
Okay, I'll take the first one. I think I can answer that. In terms of your this is Mark. In terms of your wife's phone, there's a distinction between the iPhone 3G and the 3GS, and the S stands for speed, just in case anybody wanted to know. VoiceOver is not on the iPhone 3G, so if in fact she has VoiceOver, then she is running the 3GS. The easiest way, assuming that you're not familiar with the commands, which is a kind of a catch-22, isn't it? Is to go attach the phone to her iTunes or iTunes, period. In the device, on the left-hand side of the screen, there will be a sources pane. Just like you find a tree view, just like you find in Internet Explorer, assuming you're a Windows user, and Mac users will know this. Go down to where it says devices. Click on when you attach the phone, if you're running Windows, it's going to take about 8 to 12 seconds for the phone to appear. Now, I don't know why that is, but somehow I think it's a way of Apple getting back at us. I'm not sure. Just kidding. But if they were, it's a good way to do it. Anyway, your phone will appear, or her phone will appear. You select the phone, and this will bring up what's called the summary tab on the right-hand side of the screen. Near the bottom of the screen, it'll say, you'll read, and I don't have it memorized, I think it's the word universal, either universal access. It's the only universal on that page. It's a button. Select that button, and there you can engage and disengage any of the accessibility features. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. And the last part, where can you go to learn about it? This is going to sound, it's going to sound so self-promoting, and I don't want to, but, Dean, you may have another place, but I've documented everything a person needs to know from the very beginning. Let me just say this. It cracks me up. You can go to apple.com, and I think it's apple.com/accessibility. Now, you can Google that. Or you can go to, guess where? CandleShoreBlog.com, and you can type in the iPhone, and you will get documentation that has been formatted. I put up documentation up there that's in HTML and plain text and .brf format if you want to use your refreshable Braille device, or your Windows mobile phone to read it. So, again, but I believe you can go to apple.com/accessibility or something close to it, okay? Okay, go ahead, Dean.
I stuck something in Top Tech Tidbits a few weeks ago. It's a blind Apple phone wiki. It's another place you can go, but that's why Mark's on this program. He's been ahead of the rest of us in terms of figuring things out and then telling us about it in a coherent way. So that's good. There are a whole bunch of streaming radio apps that you can get for the iPhone. Some of them are free. Some of them cost, a lot of the apps cost 99 cents. The one I bought that I'm currently using, and that doesn't mean I'm going to stay with it. I think I spent $5 on the thing. It's called OOTune. And the reason I bought it was because what you do is you go through the little app store thing and on the phone, and you can do a search or you can go by category. And so I think I did a search for radio and just looked for everything that had the word radio in the title, which included a bunch of radio station apps that let you just play their station. But this OOTune thing, the author said that, if you want a stream added, write to him and he'll add it. So, and in fact, the thing didn't turn out to be too accessible. And so I wrote to him, and he was interested to find out about, what is this voiceover thing, and how can I find out about it? And I sent him the link to the developer information, and he had already found that link and implemented so that the buttons on his program now talk. And his program, you can go browse by country, or you can search for station, some information about the station. And so I browsed through the countries today and was playing around with, Mexico and Colombia and Barbados and listen to the radio reading service. Now, I want to try if I can coordinate all this, and I'm not sure if I can hold down the control key with one hand and lean over. Let me see if I can make this phone. I turned the speed down so that would...
Dean, you can try an Alt-L. It's a toggle. That should lock it. If you hear a chirp, then you've locked it, and you get both hands free. I have another way to tell you as well. So try the Alt-L first. And you'll hear a chirp, and you've got the control. And Alt-L unlocks it.
Okay, we've got it. Thank you. I forgot about that keystroke. All right, so I'm going to put this near the microphone. Okay, it's locked right now. I don't know how well you're going to tell me how well you're hearing that when I let you go in a second. It's unlocked. There's two things you can do when you have something to do on the phone. There's a thing called split tabbing. You put one finger on the phone, and then... you tap somewhere else with another finger. So I'm going to do that right now. And this phone is just so well implemented. The little sounds that you get, just tell you, you get to know them, and it helps you know a lot of what's going on. So right now the phone is unlocked. I'm on the home screen. So across the bottom there's some apps, some icons that you can move, but a lot of people won't. Now phone is down here. Mail. What else? Safari, and iPod. So I'm going to let if I wanted to use the phone right now, I'm going to touch it, and then I'm going to hit with another finger. Phone's open. So the keypad's open right now. Across the sort of the middle of the screen, if I remember correctly, we've got a keypad. So if I want to dial a number, let's just dial a couple of digits. Okay, I want an 8. I want a 5. So you find the number, and then you hit with another finger, it dials it. That's enough, because I'm really not dialing toll-free directory assistance or tell me, which would be the two numbers I would be dialing. So I hope you could hear that, and that gives you a little bit of an idea of the experience. Obviously, you got to sort of get some muscle memory. Where is this stuff on the phone? You can get it. If I can get it, you can get it, because trust me, these are not areas that I am particularly gifted in. That gives a little bit of an idea, and let's see if I can. I hope Alt-L unlocks this. I'm not sure what unlocks it. Anyway, okay, so are we unlocked? I hope I don't have the floor anymore.
Okay, it's unlocked, whatever happened. That is interesting. Okay, the split finger or split tab, I understand a little bit. Okay, Ron, is there another question, please, up there?
Gary Wood is the next person waiting.
Hello, folks. This is Gary Wood from Lansing, of course. There's this question. I hope it's not the stupid question, but Mark Taylor was mentioning something about the iPhone. You know, have to be a little careful you know, if you drop it, it's kind of, you know, kind of thin and stuff like that. And he had mentioned something about that when somebody dropped it, then it was all over. But what happened in that case? Do they replace it or something if someone accidentally does drop it? Or what kind of deal is that with AT&T if something like that happens?
That's when I want AppleCare, I think. But let's see what Mark says.
All I can tell you, it's a good question. I don't know what happened with that particular person's phone, but I will tell you that the Apple people tell me emphatically this does not include, the AppleCare does not include accidental damage. So you can put into that whatever you want. And so I think that answers the question. It does not include accidental damage. And I suppose if you dropped it, unless an AppleCare person, a professional, slapped it out of your hand, I guess it would be an accident, and I don't think it would be covered. If you've had a lot of experience with phones, you know, they come in all shapes and sizes. Some phones just, you know, have a kind of a square build, and they fit a certain way. The iPhone happens to be, again, has a curved corner. It's very beautiful to look at or to touch or feel or whatever, but it can be a little bit slippery. So it, just like any device, you know, once you take it, and if it's, you know, it's like when people take the, I can tell you, I know people for a fact who've dropped their phone in the sink, not the iPhone, but other devices. And as many of you will know, once you drop it in the sink, it's not covered because they used to be, but now they put a strip in the back of the phone that when it gets wet, it changes colors. So even if you dry the phone out and take it to the store and they say, well, what happened? It just stopped working. They take the phone, they take the back off, and see that the pink stripe has gone blue. And oh, no. So I think it's the same applies here.
Very good. Okay, good. That's right. Accidental. I forgot that in the lecture. You're right. Of course you're right. Okay, next question, Ron. Do we see any up there, please?
Rob Hansick is the next person.
Good evening, Mark and Dean. You were talking about actually getting a case for the iPhone. And my question is it possible to get a case where you can just plain leave it in the case that would have holes to access the availability of plugging it into charge and hooking your headset up and everything like that? Because I think if I were to get a phone, and I can't right now, but if I were to get one like this, I would want a case like that so that I could use, I could just, you know, for safety's sake. And I have just a thought about, I hope if I'm going beyond my means, Bob, you know, just cut me off. Talking about various ways of accessing the numbers, I was thinking about using, like, I would use lock dots to put on various icons, like numbers and stuff, so that you could use it to access the numbers and make a phone call, and like you'd want to use with a regular phone. That's just a thought. And by the way, what are the dimensions on the phone?
I got to tell you right now, I don't have the dimensions memorized. I really don't. Maybe Dean does, but I really don't. That's a good question. Two things. One, many of the phones now have what we, you know, call custom cases. And if you get two types of cases for any phone, right? A universal case and a custom case. Custom means that it's, just like you said, it's designed specifically for the phone. And the iPhone is no exception. The AT&T, you know, it's very interesting because I'll go back to my previously favorite phone. When the Epix came out, unlike with the Blackjack 2, there was not a custom design case on the market. You could buy a universal case, but just as you said, usually it worked, but it wasn't as convenient as having, again, all the necessary cutouts and stuff. So it took a couple of months. I was glad to see, probably because Apple has a much higher profile, that there are custom cases already available for the iPhone, since it pretty much builds on the same as the iPhone 3G, with the exception of the sensor. So, yeah, there are already custom cases. And the thing I like is that, unlike a lot of other phones that I've used, a great many of the cases that you can buy off the shelf, be it at a fine retailer, Apple, or AT&T, they don't necessarily have the clips on them. So you can get a custom case that has a smooth back that you can put in your pocket, shirt pocket or something. And, of course, you do have cases that have clips. I personally, and I said it last week, I can't imagine taking a $700 phone and putting it on my belt and hoping that nobody tries to grab it from me, given that everybody knows it's an iPhone. I mean, it's a pretty unique look. But there are people who might want to do that. So you can certainly do that. Now, the case that, I have about six cases, and I'll probably have more than that before it's over. Because I just like to experiment. I just like this kind of stuff. So, you know, but since I found one that I really like, which is a leather case that came, it's an AT&T case. It's not designed by Apple. I have not taken the phone out of it for any real reason, except just to exchange for another case. Which makes no sense to you, I know. But when I'm testing all these different cases and different power packs, you know, you have to experiment. But I pretty much stick with a leather case. And the case I like, the one I have, is one that has a flap over the phone. So it looks like a pocket planner. It's a little flap that comes down in addition to the thin plastic shield that you have on the phone. It comes down and covers the phone. So the phone is truly protected. When I have it in my shirt pocket, or in a pant pocket, assuming I have any other instruments in it, like maybe keys or change, even with that plastic sheath that I discussed earlier, it's nice to know that the phone is truly insulated from any kind of scratching or, you know, even plastic. It has a nice, just another layer of protection. And the nice, another nice feature is that it doesn't really increase the dimension of the phone. There's nothing I cannot put the phone in with the case on that I use that I couldn't without. And that's, to take it to the next, and I know it sounds confusing. Getting back to your dots on the screen, I find it absolutely intriguing because, you know, I had come up with the same potential solution. I thought, you know, yeah, even though the screen is virtual, why don't I just take some, again, this is before I ever had the phone, let's take some dots or even a piece of tape. I mean, you don't really need Braille. You could just take any kind of anything and mark different areas of the screen. It sounds interesting because I know that that was, in effect, a HumanWare solution when it came to the Trekker. In this situation, it's not practical because you need to interact with the keyboard too much. It would work if only, and this will not happen, but let's assume you could set the phone so that the only way you could use it would be to use a number keypad, then it would work. But then it would be no need to spend the money on an iPhone, would it? If you're going to set it to only use the number touchpad or the dial pad, then you might as well stick with a three-dimensional phone. So for all intent and purposes, it just wouldn't work because you need to slide your finger around, and you couldn't do that. Okay?
Yeah, if you can hear me, I have a question about the iPhone.
Yeah, hold on. Let's see when you get recognized, okay? All right, Ron, next person, please.
Mike Arrico is waiting.
Hey, everybody. Good presentation. It's Mike. Well, you know, it's coincidentally enough, today, actually, one of my coworkers actually got the new iPhone 3GS, and they were nice enough to let me play with it for a bit, and I only had about 15 or 20 minutes with it, but I had, you know, read some stuff and heard other people telling me about it. Plus, I think, not to say that Mac users can't use it, but I think if you're familiar with how VoiceOver works on the Mac, it does give you a bit of an advantage also. And before I get to my question, I'll tell you a couple of other gestures, and Mark and Dee, I'm sure you guys know about these too also. If you don't want to feel around on the screen searching for something, you can flick. And the best way to describe it is like if you're flicking a bug off of the screen or something like that. And you can flick to the right or left. Right goes to the next item on the screen. Flicking left goes to the previous item on the screen. Now, for typing, obviously, that would take a while, but I actually did use that method today just because I was very time-limited and I wanted to see what I could do with it. But that is an option if you don't want to, you know, start feeling around on the screen looking for things. And for me, at least, that technique was good for getting started because then I could focus on, you know, how everything was laid out. And then, you know, had it been my iPhone, I could have come back to where the icons were actually located later on. So those are a couple other gestures that might be worth learning. And then to open an item, you double tap on the screen. That's another way to open something. My questions are these. Well, by the way, just in that 15 minutes, I was able to do a Google search in Safari, enter a phone number in the phone app, play with the Maps application a little bit, and go into settings. And figure out how to change the settings, and that was pretty simple. So, I had a ball with it. I might look in to see how much I can get an unlocked one for, because I'm with T-Mobile and I don't want to switch. But anyway, here are my my questions. I didn't see this in there, so I don't know if there's a way to do this. And I don't know if either one of you guys are familiar with how VoiceOver works on the Mac. So I'll say it this way. are there commands that move you, like, to the first and the last item on the screen? That would be equivalent to pressing, like, Control-Option-Shift-Home or Control-Option-Shift-End on the Mac. And by the way, speaking of the Mac, with iTunes, I've never used it on Windows, but from what I've heard from people who have used both of them on the Mac and Windows, it is quite a bit more responsive on the Mac, and iTunes on the Mac is fully accessible. The store, everything is just, it's great. It's awesome. So that's my first question. Is there a way to go to the first and last item, or in that case, do you just have to touch those spots? Because obviously flicking right and left, in that case, you know, would take you a little while. And secondly, and this drove me nuts, and I could not figure out if there's a way to disable it. Ugh. In the web browser, if you were to even just move the phone slight times, it switches to a landscape mode, and then, you know, you have to kind of go the opposite way, and then it would switch back to portrait. Is there any way to disable that? Because that, call me picky, but that may actually be a deal breaker for me if I can't disable that. That drove me nuts.
Yeah, I bet it did. I can understand. I'm cracking up, and I've had the same experience. A couple of things. One, there, you know, I don't have it memorized because I haven't used it. I believe there is a command to go from, oh, certainly from the end of the field to the beginning. The one that I did use with the browser and is, for example, using Safari. If you, in fact, you scroll down a page and you want to jump to the top of the page for whatever reason, you can touch the status bar at the top of the screen. That will take you back to the top of the page. As for editing and jumping from the beginning and ending of documents, to be honest with you, I haven't done it. I do remember there being a command, but I got so much stuff in my head, I can't keep it all straight. As far as the orientation, it's a good question. It's interesting that you asked that because, you know, I was thinking there's a great many people complain about the fact, not that you're complaining, but they complain that it's been the experience that they, when they go to enter a website, they want to change the layout of the keyboard to make it a landscape, and they can't. And there's actually a point at which it simply locks. But in terms of, off the top of my head, I don't know. There's a way to disable the shuffle. I don't know of a way to disable the accelerometer, which is really what's giving it the to tell it which way it's facing. Right? It's like a bubble kind of like a bubble in the air. You know, whichever way that it knows which way's up, whichever way the bubble is, and depending on where that is how it works, kind of like a gyroscope. So if there is a way to disable it, I have not found it. And I must admit, it's crossed my mind when I first got the phone, maybe the first 2 or 3 days. But, you know, pitch and tilt all work together. I know people who say, well, you know, I can't lay the phone down on a table without it going to landscape. And that's not true. I can only tell you that I had the same issue. It drove me crazy also, and I thought, there's got to be a way to disable this. And I did check with Apple. I did call the Apple, the main Apple iPhone store, and they didn't give me a conclusive answer, but I'd be on the bed at this point. If there is one, you'd be hard-pressed to find it. But that doesn't mean I won't look, and if there is one, I guarantee we will find it. But once I got used to how the pitch and the tilt of the phone work, it really is not a problem anymore, which doesn't solve your issue. I'm just saying I don't have an answer for you.
Okay, that was a good exchange there. Officially, we're going to wrap this up at 10:30 Eastern time because some people work, but if you guys want to keep going, that's terrific. Ron, let's get one more official question, and then we'll officially close it. And if you guys want to keep going, that's perfect. You can go talk all night. That's great. But I worry about our friends in the East. So, Ron, do we have a good question up there? They're all good, though. Let's see what you can find.
Okay, I guess Jesse's probably the one waiting next longest.
What's up, guys? I hope I'm coming through. This is Jesse. I've also been an iPhone user for the last couple weeks. I know Mark pretty well. Also nice to meet you, Dean. Good show there. Basically, no, I just wanted to let you all know that I was here in the chat room just in case if you guys needed me to talk about something about the iPhone or if you guys wanted me to show something or whatever, just in case. Basically, I know almost as much about the iPhone as Mark does, or maybe even more, but congratulations, guys. If you guys need me, I'll be here for a little bit, so just keep...
Jesse, that's wonderful. And if you know more than Mark, you're pretty good. He's quite confident, and you sound like you do. You know a great deal, and we thank you for that. Okay, Ron, another question here, please.
James and Marcia Machi have questions.
James, we're not hearing you. Let's give you one more shot here. James and Marcia Mackey.
Hello.
Okay, I'm sorry. Ron, next question, please. You guys can write these up on the screen. F8, write your question and enter. Okay, another question.
Martin Nelson.
Ramon Garcia asked the question, how much faster does a battery get drained with voice over enabled?
Well, I have two phones, and I have two iPhones here in the house, and one with VoiceOver running constantly, which is mine, of course, and one that doesn't, which I kind of use for guinea pig. That's my wife, you know. But anyway, you know, if I want to test something, why waste it on mine, huh? You know what? I'll tell you something. That's a very good question. I can tell you I have not noticed a significant difference. If there is, it's so slight that I haven't seen it, because by the end of the day, her phone, again, which is not running VoiceOver, unless I put it on every now and then, is about the same. Maybe, obviously, there has to be some drainage. That goes without saying. On the other hand, I usually keep my screen display turned pretty low, since I don't use it very much. So that may compensate for part of it also. And I have to say at this point, based on what I've seen between these two phones, and again, anecdotally speaking, I haven't measured it, I would say it would be negligible. I mean, you might notice, let me give you an example. If you're using VoiceOver, she and I were doing the exact same things on the phone, assuming that they were equally cycled and discharged the same way, all things being equal. Given any number of things that we might do, including streaming, talking on the phone, configuring the phone, surfing the web, you might see it more, maybe a 10% greater difference on my phone than you would hers, but again, that's all things being equal, and it could just as likely be the reverse, assuming that if she's using the Bluetooth and I'm not, if my screen resolution's turned down, or I have the screen curtain on, which means the screen is completely disabled, so all things being equal, I would say it's virtually the same, but it would seem logical that it would be at least, at maximum, maybe a 10% difference. But again, that's just an anecdote. You can go out on the web and maybe you'll find somebody who's actually done some benchmarking.
Okay, and Ron, this is the last official question, so and then we'll certainly, again, you guys can talk all you wish, but I do want to keep our Eastern friends in mind here. All right, so Ron, one more, please, for the road.
Joe Morgan asked the question, does the XM app work with VoiceOver?
I believe that was on the list of accessible apps, but I could be wrong about that because I'm not an XM user, and that's you don't get that. You used to get that for free online, but you don't anymore. Let me, since I've got a chance to get the mic here, let me throw in a couple comments about some previous things that have been said. The tilt thing bothered me at first, and I haven't used the browser a whole lot. But the way I use it, I lie it straight down on either my knee or on my leg or on a surface, and I text that way. And I'm able to stay in portrait mode without any problem. Now, if you tilt the phone sideways, it'll go into landscape. But I'm not sure about that in the browser. But I believe it is something that one can overcome, even though I don't think one can disable it. The AppleCare thing, I believe one thing that AppleCare lets you do, even if you do an accidental damage on the phone, is to replace it. For example, those of us that are AT&T customers can buy a replacement phone at the AT&T price rather than having to spend the exorbitant non-AT&T price. I could be wrong about that, but I believe that's one of the benefits, and it's one of the reasons they really encourage you to get AppleCare. And I think there are one or two other things I wanted to throw something in on, but at least that gets me caught up a little bit. If the XM radio app isn't accessible, for example, you can get XM, I'm pretty sure, through this OOTunes thing that I've got. It gives you access to the XM stations as well. So there are ways to do it.
It blows my mind all this tonight. This is terrific. Gentlemen, on behalf of Accessible World, I want to thank you so very much for the two great weeks of educating us regarding the accessibility of cell phones, and tonight, the iPhone. What a wonderful device. We thank you very, very much, and again, this will officially close our session. If you guys want to talk further with our speakers and they can stay on, that's great. But Mark and Dean, thank you so much.